morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about trusts and wills and Medicaid and probate avoidance. You can give us a call. It's definitely a call-in show, even though we haven't received a bunch of calls lately, but it's 518-476-5900. We'd be happy to hear from you.
We would. I'm ready to write their name down and show it to the panel right now.
Yes,
Ben's
that's right.
Ready. Call on in,
people. I am. Mm-hmm.
So we missed everyone last week, but it was the holiday, and I hope everyone had a wonderful July 4th.
Did Dave send in the music list, Ben?
He did not.
Oh, I'm surprised. So, he's very on top.
I kind of figured he'd be on top of it as well.
I know. Well, hopefully they picked up some good tunes during our absence. I'm sure they...
Oh, yeah, they all sounded good.
Good.
That's
good.
Great.
Glad to hear.
Great.
Glad to hear.
Good.
Did you have a nice 4th of July weekend, Jay Marie?
I did. It was... Although it was a little bit too hot to do much outside.
Oh, it was super hot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I feel like people went all out for 250. There's always a lot of fireworks, but this year the amount was, at least around me, was incredible.
Yeah. No, it was double the normal. It was great.
We all benefit.
Yes.
Except my dog. So Ben, you always ask about Boone when I come in.
How is Boone?
He's doing well.
Good.
He did really well with the fireworks. Didn't faze him. Because, you never know what to expect from a dog with thunder and fireworks and whatnot. But he... very relaxed. Didn't have to sedate him.
But you don't want to expect that that's going to happen every time.
No, I know. Sure. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe it was a one-off. But this time, at least, he was okay, which is good.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is great. I have a wedding tonight, Jay Marie.
You're getting married again?
I am. For me.
That's
for
lovely.
Me. I've become I'm a polygamist, so I'm getting married again. No, so one of Jen's co-workers who became one of our friends getting married, but I haven't been to one in a while, and this is my first in the Capital Region area.
Oh, okay.
So excited. It's over
nice.
At the Canefield Casino in Congress Park in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm excited. It looks like a cool venue. Mm-hmm. See how it is. I don't know how it's going to compare, though, to Long Island weddings. It's a whole other category. Ben, have you ever been to a downstate wedding?
I have not.
You got to get it yourself into one just to see what it's all about.
Yes.
The opulence is gross. It's like everyone was trying to outdo each other. So we'll see. I'm sure tonight will be great, but I don't know if it'll be like that.
It won't be in Long Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but in Saratoga Springs, it certainly could be opulent.
I'm sure it'll be nice regardless. And actually, one of the guys getting married is from Long Island. So.
Okay. So he may bring some of that.
He might have those expectations. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
We'll see. Should be fun, though. How about you? Any good weekend plans?
No, just going out to dinner, in Hudson, which is a really fun place to go to.
I've never been down there.
Yeah.
No, I should check it out.
Yeah, it's a French restaurant we're going to that looks very cool.
Very fancy.
Yes.
Fancy. Very nice.
That's right.
So, Jamie, I had a few clients this week that, this happens all the time, but same during the week, they all walk in and they all, what are you guys doing in here? What brings you in today?
Yeah.
And all three separate clients, I want to know, do I need a trust?
Oh,
right. So obviously they heard it somewhere. One yesterday actually was a radio listener, if he and she are listening today.
Right.
But obviously they must hear us talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. But even with that, there were still a lot of questions. Do I need a trust? Because while we talk about it on the radio and all that, our speaking engagements and educational events, it sometimes is really hard to conceptualize until you apply it to your own personal situation.
Right. That's right.
Different experience. And we're talking about, these are your finances. This is your family. These are your goals. This is your point of life. Mm-hmm. We can really get into, what makes sense for you. Does a trust make sense? What other documents do you need instead of just kind of talking generally? But the general stuff is really good because it makes people think about that question.
That's right. And, sometimes the answer is no, not yet, right? But it's not always yes, but we like to discuss with you why you may need a trust.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it is a very great tool for many, many people, but doesn't mean that every person needs one, right? It really does depend on your situation.
Right.
And there's so many different types of trusts that are meant to achieve different goals, right? You have the goals of avoiding probate. Mm-hmm. You want to keep things private. We have asset protection we always talk about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're talking about retaining certain government benefits for individuals with special needs. Right. Sometimes people have desires to, you know, retain control of the distribution of their assets even after mm-hmm. they're deceased. And sometimes we even have more rare lately, but estate tax mitigation.
True.
Right?
That's right.
So, and those are a handful of different things that we see, reasons that trust could help. But again, none of those situations may apply to you. It really depends. And the first step really is determining what your goals are. So client comes in to see you, Jane Marie, they pose that question to you, mm-hmm. you know, where do you take it from there?
So I'm kind of assessing first, you know, basically how old they are, right? Where they are in life mm-hmm. and asking about their family, you know, about their, do they have any special concerns about beneficiaries, you know, looking over their assets, looking to see if they have long-term care insurance, which is pretty rare these days.
Yep. More and more rare.
More and more rare. And then after looking at all of those, if they're at an age where a Medicaid trust is appropriate, we can talk about that. You know, if they're younger than that, I can talk about a revocable trust, but it may not be necessary.
Yeah, sometimes it is, and we'll talk about revocable trusts too today. But you know, the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, depending on the, I use the age, and it's not, there's no red line age range.
There's no set range, right?
60 to 70 seems to be like the sweet spot.
Right.
Not to say if you're younger than that, it's too young, or if you're older than that, it's too old. It really all depends on a bunch of other factors.
Right.
But very frequently in that age range, people are either retired or thinking about retiring, entering the next stage of their life. They kind of know, have a general idea of ideally where they want to be, what they want their life to look like. If they have kids, where their kids have settled, they have a general idea of what their ongoing income is going to be, right? Because once you retire, your income is a little more set, more stagnant, and you're going to have an idea of what that is. Hopefully you have a general idea of what your normal expenses are and what you like to do every year. And all those factors are really important in helping us determine, like, is it a good time in life to maybe discuss this Medicaid Asset Protection Trust? And it also depends on the goals, right? So the two main goals that we're looking to achieve through this type of trust, what we call a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, which is a version of an irrevocable trust. One, avoiding probate. Right. So when we're both gone, or if you're a couple, or if you're a single person, when you're gone, making sure whoever you're leaving behind, their job to take care of things for you is the easiest possible version of that job. Keep everybody out of court. And then there's also, we worked really hard. We've accumulated these assets. We have maybe a house, maybe an investment property, maybe land, maybe a bunch of financial accounts. We want to make sure at least a good chunk of that is preserved for your kids or whoever your heirs are. Those are the two main goals that I see, right? And I think those are the two main goals that this trust we're talking about, the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, achieves. But again, not everyone has those goals.
Yeah, but as to the first one, avoiding probate, a lot of clients come in, you know, where they've been through probate with their parents.
Those are my favorite.
Yeah, and they know what probate is. And they don't want their kids to go through it because they've been through it already. So that's when sometimes they come in knowing what they want. Like, we know we don't want probate. We saw what it was. Mm-hmm. Let's try and avoid that.
Life experience is great. I mean, that's the best, not the way you want to learn often, but it's absolutely the best way to learn, because it's either the version of it that we see where, man, I had to go through this probate and it was awful, or, you know, my mom went into a nursing home and you know, we quote unquote lost everything and had a really bad experience. Mm-hmm. Don't love those, but great learning experience. Or the flip side is my parents did amazing planning and everything that I did was so easy, and I want to replicate that. I want my kids or my loved ones to have that same experience. So both learning experience, both very different learning experiences.
Yes, that's right.
But it is eye-opening to many people for themselves and what they should be thinking about.
Right. So that's kind of one class of, you know, clients who come in, but then there's others who may not have had to go through that.
Yeah.
So they're learning about trust for the first time, and they're like, how would a trust help me?
And that's a little bit harder for us, I think, because it's more conceptual to them. Like, trying to, not having the experience, trying to show them, this is why we're talking about these things, and this is, you know, why these documents, these techniques could benefit you.
That's true. And if it's just probate avoidance, you know, it may or may not be the right time to do it, depending on your family situation. Like if you're like, as we say, everyone gets along, straight, you know, normal family tree, like spouse, children, that's, you know.
Right, we're not talking about like my closest families, first cousins once removed. Yes. We're talking about I have kids, everyone's on good terms, no one's fighting.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and in that case, you can also avoid probate by putting beneficiaries on everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it all depends. Maybe you don't own real estate and all your stuff's in financial accounts. You've sold your house. You never want to own again. You want to go rent somewhere, keep it easy.
That's right.
And maybe we're not concerned about protecting assets. You might not need a trust because we can avoid that probate prong with just what you said, beneficiary designations. Now, that doesn't always work, right? That works in the most simplest of cases.
Right. Doesn't happen that often because the probate avoidance is one piece, but the second piece, the asset protection, really comes in then. Because if you put beneficiaries on assets, it does not protect them.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything while you're alive, right? While you're alive, beneficiary designations don't mean anything right now, right? No one has a vested interest. The assets are still owned by you as an individual. And therefore, if you get sick one day and you need some kind of long-term care, whether it's, you know, the worst case scenario in a nursing home or you're still in your house and you need aides to come in to help care for you, when we look to the government and say, hey, Medicaid, we want you to cover some of this cost or all this cost, they're going to say, no, these are all your assets and they're it's over our limit, right?
Right. Yeah, because sometimes clients, they've probably said this to you. Well, I put my daughter on my bank account. Now it's protected, right?
Yeah, which is not true. And I also really, really dislike that method for other reasons. What about you? Depending.
Depending on the circumstances. I mean, you can use a power of attorney to pay bills just as much as being joint on the bank account.
Well, think about it this way, right? And again, if you're much older and it's very much later in life, maybe it's okay. But if I'm still somewhat young and I add one or more of my kids as joint owners on my accounts, right? I get the idea. You're trying to avoid probate because they're joint on it. It'll go to them automatically. It gives them access while you're alive. But it also exposes that account to all the liability of that person you added. If they get sued, if they get divorced, if they meet someone who has a bad influence and they decide to steal all your money and flee to Mexico, whatever. There's a lot of exposure there of doing it that way.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's why I don't like it.
Yeah. No, it's not necessarily the best thing to do. And it also doesn't protect it at all by getting a joint name on the account.
Yeah. And people talk about, you know, oh, my son or my daughter's been on my account for 10 years. If I get sick, I need long-term care. You know, it's protected, right? Or a portion of it's protected.
Right.
No. I mean, if we can show that person was contributing their own funds, maybe we can say a part of it's just theirs, but generally speaking, it's not going to protect any of that account.
That's right. Either jointly or naming a beneficiary. So, you know, kind of in general, back to the trust discussion, I think probate avoidance is important, but asset protection is really, you know, where people see the need for the trust.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the major goals, right? You work your whole life, you sacrifice to get the assets that you've gotten. The idea of, hey, you're telling me that if I got sick, it could all go to a nursing home or to care in the house or have to go to reimburse the government, that makes people physically ill sometimes, that idea.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
This is a pretty depressing thought, right? Why did I do all this if that's the case? So
yeah, that's right.
For those people, you know, the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust we often talk about is a great planning tool. And I mentioned it's a version of an irrevocable trust, which we're getting up to the break. We'll talk about after. Mm-hmm. It's not as quote unquote irrevocable as the name intends, because that's a deterrent to people a lot of times. So we can talk about, you know, how flexible and how many options there actually still are with this irrevocable Medicaid Asset Protection Trust when we come back.
That's right. And we'll be right back after the break.
Thanks for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. This is a weekly presentation to help you learn more about protecting your assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. Herzog Law has offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 11 and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Their attorneys are available to help you. To schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jay Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact the Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581. To reach the Kingston office, call 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. We've been talking about trust and when you need a trust and how we evaluate, you know, when is a good time to do a trust. Before we go into this, if you have any questions, you can give us a call at 518-476-5900. And we were talking about when an irrevocable trust makes sense and how it's not as irrevocable as you think it is.
Yeah. I mean, irrevocable trust is a really broad term. There's a lot of different versions of irrevocable trusts, and some are more irrevocable than others,
right,
depending on the language and the intent. The ones we do most commonly that we refer to, you know, colloquially as a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, is not so irrevocable in many senses, right? So with this type of a trust, you as the creator, or if it's you and a spouse as co-creators, retain a huge amount of rights and control and flexibility over this trust. What are the, when you talk about this with your clients, Jamie, what are some of the highlights that you point out in the you know, control and flexibility side of things?
Sure. So, I mean, the most common thing that people put into these trusts are their house.
Yeah.
So I talk about how the trust gives you all these rights, you know, the right to live in the house for the rest of your life. It also says you have to pay all the expenses, but like
you can't
you
pass
before,
that on to your kids just yet. No,
yeah, you
still
can't
paying
do that.
The expenses.
That's right. But if you were to move out and rent it, you would get the income. You can also sell the house and buy a new house, which a lot of people don't think you can do with an irrevocable trust.
Or a condo or a co-op whatever version of your home you want it to be.
So you really keep all the same options that you do as if you own the house directly.
You do. And I also get the tax side of things. People get nervous. I'm going to lose my STAR or VA or enhanced STAR exemption for my property or school taxes. Nope. Mm-hmm. You retain those. You retain the rights of if you do sell the house. Some people may know that who are listening, if you are an individual or if you're a married couple, you have an exemption for capital gain tax purposes of a certain amount, $500,000. The first $500,000 is capital gain tax free. We're not going to lose that.
That's
right. We put it into the trust. And then also we get the question all the time from clients and sometimes from financial advisors or accountants. Does this type of trust that we're doing, do we lose what's called a step up in basis when I die, right? So what that is, say I bought my house for $50,000 30 years ago and it's now worth $400,000. When I pass away and my kids sell it, do they have to pay the difference between $50,000 and $400,000? Or do they get a step up in basis to the date of death value? So if it's worth $400,000 when I die and it's sold for $400,000, there's a net zero capital gain.
That's right.
And we retain that.
And you keep that. You don't lose that by putting it into a trust. There are some irrevocable trusts where you would lose that ability, but our trust does not do that.
Yeah, we won't get too technical, but as long as there's the proper language and proper rights within the trust, we do retain that benefit for the step-up in basis, which is huge.
That's
for
really
people.
Important because, as you've seen as well as I have, many clients who have their house 30 years or 40 years bought it at a very low price.
Real estate, I mean... it's gone up so much,
right.
You know, Jamie, back where you're originally from, Queens.
Yeah.
Remember I used to have clients that were like, yeah, we bought it for $10,000, this duplex in Queens. Now it's worth
$2.5 million.
Oh, yes. That's the number I was going to use, actually, Ben. That's, and that's not an exaggeration.
No.
So the gains on that is incredible. So imagine if your parents pass away and you have to pay taxes on that.
That would be crazy.
My gosh.
Right.
How much you would pay would be astronomical.
Yeah, a lot of times we joke that people bought their houses for what a car costs today.
Less than a car.
Yeah, probably. I've seen a lot of people, $30,000, $40,000 is what they bought their house for. Right.
Yeah, so that's a huge benefit too. So we get all those same rights with the irrevocable trust that we're talking about. We also can amend this trust, even though it's irrevocable. We can change who the trustees are. I like to tell the clients you can fire your child. They seem to like the idea of that.
They do like that. They keep control.
Control is key for many people, and understandably so. And you can also change beneficiaries. So however the framework is that you set up, if something happens, you have a falling out, people pass away, circumstances change, we can amend the beneficiary structure of the trust as well.
Yeah, that's right. And you can do that without anyone else's consent. Just you and your spouse can go in and...
That's all you need.
Change the trustee and change the beneficiary. So that really gives you a lot of control, especially the trustee part, because the trustee is kind of working for you.
Yeah.
Right? So you can change who that is.
And the most contradictory thing we tell people that blows their mind sometimes is you can revoke your irrevocable trust. So
that's right.
I don't know who named it irrevocable, but a little misleading.
Could have been a different name.
Yeah.
It could have made it something else.
I think we could have been.
Because it makes it seem like, I can't do anything with that.
It does. It's a very scary sounding word.
And yet it sounds like you have a lot of control over what you want to do.
You do.
And like Jane Marie said, listen, there are some versions of irrevocable trusts that are, you know, truly like set in stone.
Right.
But oftentimes we're not really doing those quite often. Mm-hmm. Those are, sometimes we're dealing with very, very, very high wealth. Those make more sense.
Those are like for estate tax reasons, which again, don't apply to most of us. You know, you have to have more than $15 million. Have estate tax.
Yeah.
So we're not there.
Not even close.
We can only hope.
Not there.
So, you know, there really is a great tool that we use. But not everyone has those goals. So, for example, I got a question the other day. We went through the whole thing and the couple decided to do this Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. They have kids. And they checked all the boxes. It wasn't going to negatively affect their life in any way. So we're going to really be able to achieve their goals in a great way. But then wrapping up and the wife said to me, yeah, but my neighbor, I forget if it was my neighbor or my sibling or something, they have a revocable trust. I don't understand. Why would they not do the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust? I just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said, I had to say, well, let me ask you a few questions. And the first question was, do they have kids?
Right.
And the answer was no.
Yes.
So right there and then, my response was very likely, I haven't met your sister, whoever it was, but very likely they don't care about protecting assets because they have no dependents or individuals that they're trying to preserve any kind of wealth for.
Right.
So there's no reason to do this type of a trust. And they did a revocable trust because they just want to make things very easy for the individuals that they're leaving behind.
Yeah, we do come across that, you know, more often than you think. Just yesterday, I was meeting with a client in the afternoon who doesn't have any close family members. And, you know, we're talking about, before we even got into trust, just who do you want to leave your money to?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, he had three charities he could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, great. We're going to split your, you know, estate among these three charities. It's like, no, I want to leave like $25,000 to one, $10,000 to another, you know, $5,000 to the last one. I'm like, okay, that's only a tiny little bit of your whole estate.
Yeah, where's the rest going?
Where's the rest going? I have to think about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it is sometimes tough when you don't have close family members to decide where the money's going.
Yeah.
And, you know, even selecting charities or friends or individuals, you know.
I really think that you should keep my... Mm-hmm. personal information. And when you come up with those, that you should just say, look, this guy's adoptable. You could just put him right in, just slide him right in the bottom line.
Yeah, Ben, just think of a creative name for a charity, Ben, and open it up.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a really great guy, but he's, you know, he has some special.
Yeah, exactly.
That he needs money for.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so someone like that is a difficult question. With those clients in particular that have no immediate family or individuals that have a strong desire to leave to, that also makes other aspects of estate planning harder. Who do you make your healthcare proxy? Who do you make your power of attorney for those people those questions can be really difficult, which is not, you know, there's no great answer that we have for them.
No.
Other than go out there and, make some relationships. I don't know.
Well, he did have a close friend who was there who was going to be healthcare proxy and power of attorney. But I'm thinking, I didn't say it, what about her? You know, are you going to leave her any money?
Yeah. You don't want to say it out loud. But you're like, no, what's going on here?
I know. Or maybe I'll get her out of the room and ask him. But I'm like, she's doing all this work for you.
Yeah.
You
know? Right. And you know, there's also the side of that, like say, like situations like that, I have come across quite often. We have charities and whatnot. And the question that I posed in that scenario was, well, you know, do you want to make sure that the most possible money that's left goes to the charities, and do you want it to pass to them as quickly as possible? Because if we have to go through probate, that may not happen, right? There's going to be a lot of costs on the administration side of the estate. It's going to take a long time. At the very least, a year, probably more when we're in a situation like that, that there's no close family.
I was really impressing this upon him because he couldn't even really, he doesn't know where his cousin lives. I mean, I think we came up with possibly one cousin. So I said that would be really hard.
Or if he or she is even alive, if they're not in touch,
true.
Right?
Like, that's right.
You know, cases like that, it's difficult for us. Sometimes we have to hire outside help, like a genealogist or a private investigator to...
Right.
Recreate the family tree and then go out and find these people. It can be quite difficult.
And then sometimes you find these people and they're like, oh wow, this cousin has money.
Cha-ching. See the dollar eyes in their dollar
that's
signs
right.
in their eyes.
I think I'll
up.
Go get me some.
They're leaving it all to charity. No, I'm gonna come in and say, I think that's not right. I think I deserve some.
Yeah, so all of a sudden this person that you maybe never met or haven't seen in 50 years can throw a monkey wrench in your plans after you pass away and really create some havoc and increase costs, maybe even get something out of it just to make them go away, right? So we see that happen sometimes.
True. That's true.
You know, what do you want? Take this money and just leave to settle this here. And that obviously is not the person's intent. So
right. So because of that, I was really stressing that a trust would be the much better way to go. You know, revocable trust. So he's probably a case where a revocable trust may be better than an irrevocable trust.
Yeah.
If he's not so worried about preserving his assets, he doesn't even know who he's leaving it to.
Yeah. For someone like that, it's, hey, whatever's left is what's left. And we'll make it pass in the easiest way possible. And the revocable trust can certainly achieve that.
Yes, that's right.
Sometimes the question that's easier to answer is, you know, who doesn't need a trust? Right.
Right.
And because we have clients that come, like, say you're a young couple, you had kids. Likely we're not going to be talking about it. We'll talk about a trust just so you have some, the educational. We always tell people when they have the question. But, you know, the chances of you and your spouse dying simultaneously is very slim.
Right.
I did one recently for he was a youngish individual with somewhat young kids whose wife unexpectedly passed away. And he was having a friend be the person to be in charge, like the executor or trustee, right?
Right.
And we talked about it, and he was really concerned about the burden it would put on her and wanted to make it as easy as possible.
Right.
And he's a sole surviving spouse at this point.
Yeah.
So in that case, it actually made sense to do a revocable trust because now, you know, when he passes away, to make it the easiest possible version of administering his estate for this friend, that made him feel at peace.
Right.
So even though he was a young guy, it made sense there. He was a sole surviving spouse.
That's right. So it can make sense sometimes. You know, if you're younger, generally we're just recommending wills.
Most of the time. Yeah. Or, you know, all your assets are in financial accounts. There's no real estate. Mm-hmm. We're not concerned about protecting it. We didn't even get into, you know, there's some exempt assets, like all my money's in retirement accounts and very small amount in bank accounts. I don't own real estate. Maybe a trust doesn't make sense. We can do beneficiary designations if your administration is simple and doesn't always make sense. But...
Right.
It's always good to meet with an attorney like us to discuss it, educate yourself, see is it a good idea for me to do it or is it not?
That's right. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit HerzogLaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.